Two item numbers. I know that Mr. McLaughlin apologized in the previous meeting that he will not be present today due to some family issues. Any other apology? I know we've received apologies from both Darren and Brandy. They are unable to be with us due to ill health. Who else? Any other apology, Honourable Member Sorase?
I did see an apology from Honourable Kwankwa, who is overseas.
Okay, Honourable Member Kwankwa is overseas. And he did send a written apology. Okay. Honourable Members, do you accept the apology?
Yes, Chairperson.
Any seconder? Seconded. Thank you very much, Honourable Member Sinukwanya. Thank you very much. We will then go straight to presentation by the Parliamentary Budget Office. The presentation has been circulated. And now I think it's also on the board now. Shall we then proceed with the presentation? Prof, over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. Honourable Chair, thank you very much for your introduction, which I think you've captured a lot of the issues we wanted to highlight here today as well. But let me start just by introduction by saying that what's important for us in this presentation is to ensure that departments are basically taking the NDP into cognizance. Because what we're actually about in this regard is how is the NDP being implemented and what is the process with respect to implementation of the NDP in this regard. So what's important for us here is and specifically from the PBO side, because we operate from the legislature, we work within a committee system. And how do committees ensure oversight of the departments to ensure that NDP targets, outcomes are taken into cognizance and are they being implemented in this regard? So that is our function as the PBO in this respect. What we also need to say is that there needs to be a remembrance that while we keep percentages in our presentation, this does not necessarily mean that, targets are not being achieved or that people are not moving ahead in terms of addressing the NDP need. But it gives an indication as to the progress that has been made for the NDP in this respect. So I think these are critical issues that we need to take into cognizance as well. Of course, what's important also, Honourable Chair, I think like you mentioned, is this whole alignment with NDP, NTSF, APP. And how do these issues play itself out in terms of achievement of the implementation of NDP targets, etc., etc. The indicators are also important, and you will hear a lot about that in our presentation as well, is the issue with respect to indicators, specifically, and how do committees, for example, ensure that these indicators are taken cognizance of in some of the teams. Now, let me point out here, our analysis, of course, focuses on the past, basically, and what we've done already. What we need to say now is going to the future, how our committee is going to take this into cognizance to ensure that we are able to hold departments accountable, basically the executives accountable for, achievement of these NDP targets, etc. So tracking implementation is important, monitoring and evaluation, and giving our committees the insights and the information to hold the executive accountable is crucial in this whole process going forward. As you know also, Chair, we've been asked by the Speaker and the Chair of the NCLP, the Speaker of the National Assembly, to specifically focus on NDP implementation and targets. So a big part of our policy work in the PBO, because of our limited capacity, is focusing on this. And I think the team will also indicate to you, Chair, that the next step of our progression will be to measure the impact in terms of, you know, the NDP. So, Chair, thank you very much. I'm going to hand over to my colleagues, Amelia and then Dr. Makula Sekatani, to take you through the specific presentations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Amelia.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Prof. Prof actually indicated all the reasons why we are doing all these analysis that we started with, and it was also instruction from the speaker. That's why we started, and the initial question was in terms of the progress. So we did, we started with the progress, we got the findings, but I mean, whether they're real or not, we still had to determine doing all the other analysis. Then we did the analysis on the alignment of the budget and the NCLS, and with the alignment analysis that we did from the Treasury already made a few changes and last year and this year to, in terms of their functional grouping aligned to the outcomes. After that we did the, we looked at the reporting systems of government, which also links to how the committees can do oversight or how they do oversight. The next step was the alignment of the budget with the NTSF, and then at this stage we're trying to determine the integration of the medium-term strategic framework indicators into APP. And this is really to assist committees trying to determine whether committees will be able to do oversight, because they do it per department, not per outcome. They don't look at clusters. And then in terms of the background, I'm not going to go through everything extra. The medium-term strategic framework basically provides the five-year plan, and this plan is based on intergovernmental relations. You will see each NTSF is categorized in three or four departments that must contribute to the indicators and the outcomes of the medium-term strategic framework. But the medium-term strategic framework at the moment, we can't really see the link between provincial and local government level, and that's also one of the that will make an impact in terms of the implementation. The NDP requires that all plans of government is based on the NDP, and the incorporation into the existing activities of departments will definitely ensure funding and reporting. And at this stage, reporting is very important to us and the committees, because without reporting, we don't know where we are and whether we are implementing the indicators. In terms of the methodology, I thought this was important to mention. We basically list all the performance indicators per outcome. Then we try to find those indicators within APP and all within the corporate performance report. That's how we started. And because we did this and we linked all this, we did like a matrix. We then also decided that in the same analysis, we can also determine whether the sub-outcome objectives are basically aligned to the program purposes, which is important for implementation, because if the purpose is the mandate of the program, and if the purpose doesn't allow for the implementation, then it will be illegal to basically do activities within that program. So in terms of the findings of outcome one, we found that there was, we tried to quantify all of this that we did. So in the NTSF indicators, there were 40 indicators for outcome one, but we could only find 10 of those indicators in ABC. The department
on that slide are you now?
Slide 8.
Oh.
So, outcome one.
Okay. Okay, slide 8, are we together? All right.
So in terms of the findings for outcome 1, only 25 of the indicators we could find. And then the department is basically responsible for 38 of those 40 indicators. telecommunications and social services has got one responsibility in terms of the broadband, but they don't report on that on a quarterly basis. That's only taken up in a different policy. Social development has got a responsibility in terms of outcome one, which is in terms of strategies and policies in terms of grade R and ECD. In terms of the purpose of the programs, we found that on a national level, the purpose of the program with these indicators are basically linked to. In terms of ECD and grade R, that specific program doesn't really allow for the activities in terms of ECD and grade R. But I also checked the provincial departments. They'll find they really have specific programs on a provincial level, but the provincial level indicated that programs are not taken up in the medium-term strategic framework. It's only the national one. In terms of the findings for outcome two, 77 indicators are reflected on the medium-term strategic framework, of which only 36 indicators we could find. Health is the main responsible person for these indicators, so responsible for 75. Again, the same issue with telecommunications in terms of broadband, and only a small play in this outcome is the police services. They are responsible for the reducing the death rate. And then the Department of Higher Education, Transport, Justice, Police, Correctional Services, they just have supporting roles within outcome two. In terms of the findings with the program purposes, the purposes in health are very wide purposes, so they really do, they will be able to implement the NDP, they allow for the implementation in terms of the purpose. In terms of the findings for outcome three, all people in South Africa are and feel safe. This was a very difficult one to analyse because outcome three also updated the outcome. We found that when I googled the outcome, I could find the updated one dated January 2017, and then I already did the analysis, and then I had to start from scratch for outcome three. But nevertheless, in terms of outcome three, there are 93 medium-term strategic indicators, of which we could find 58. There are 9 departments that are responsible for the activities within outcome three. So the police services are responsible for 36 indicators. We could find 28 in the APP or the QPR. Justice and correction and constitutional support is responsible for 21. We found 10. Department of Service Delivery included all 8 indicators which they are responsible for. Home Affairs, responsible for 7, we could find 4. And then Defence, we could find all 3 that contributes to outcome 3. We could find all 3 in the APP. In terms of Correctional Services also, they've got 3 indicators that they need to report to, and we could find all 3 in the APP. The next one is the Department of Public Service and Administration is also responsible for 2 of these indicators. You could find 1 in terms of reduction in corruption. The Presidency is responsible for 2, also in terms of the reduction in corruption in the public sector. And then the one of the bigger players of the State Security Agency, they are responsible for 10 of the performance indicators. But we couldn't even find an APP for State Security Agency. Parliament didn't receive an APP, there's no APP on the website, and we also called them twice to try and get hold of the APP, but we couldn't. And they are responsible for a secure cyberspace and the reduction of corruption in the public and private sector. So we thought this is something we really have to mention in terms of that security agency. Comparisons of the program, budget programs really provide for the implementation of the Mid-Income Strategic Framework outcomes. Mapula will choose the last two for us.
Thank you, Nina. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members and colleagues. We're going to look at outcome 4 and outcome 5. Like Prof. Emilia mentioned, the percentages is not about performance of departments, but it's all about how much are they capturing of the indicators of the NQSS in the, into their APP. So outcome 4 is all about decent employment through inclusive economic growth. So when we compared the performance indicators in the MTSF with those in the APP, we found that there were 58 MTSF indicators and only 21 were captured in the APP. There are 10 departments responsible for this outcome, together with other supporting departments. So in terms of our comparison, one of the things that we find is that in terms of especially the infrastructure programs, we have the PICC, which is indicated as a responsible institutional department or body, but then we couldn't trace an APP for PICC, and we checked under economic development, which is the coordinating department for PICC, and for that particular indicator in this outcome, they were not found in the APP for economic development also. And the DCI is also responsible for this outcome, but then we found that they have six indicators, performance indicators, which they are responsible for, but it's only one that appears in their APP. And we have also Department of Home Affairs and Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services, which are responsible for some performance indicators there. All their indicators were captured in their APP. So everything appeared in the APP as indicated in the MTSF. And also we have DPME, I'm the DPME is here, responsible for a couple of them. And so, but the performance indicators are not presented in the APP, so we cannot trace in the APP of DPME. And we have Public Works also, which is responsible for sub-outcome 9. So DPME is responsible for sub-outcome 4. But the performance indicators were not found in their APP. What we found is that sometimes departments don't indicate their performance indicators from the MTSF as priority before they come to the indicator. But our main thing is that it needs to be measurable. So it needs to appear as performance indicators. So you can indicate it as a strategic objective or as a priority, but then how do you measure it? So we're looking at the measurability of the performance indicators, which they were not appearing as performance indicators, but then as just priorities. And then we also found that the performance indicators for public is not presented in their APC. And we have Department of Science and Technology, which also is responsible for sub-outcome 10 with three performance indicators, but they were not appearing on their APP. They are also indicated as priorities in the strategic objective of the department, but not measurable in terms of performance indicators. The other one is outcome 5, which is a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path. So in terms of this, the Department of Higher Education is responsible for outcome 5, and we found that there were 50 MTSF performance indicators presented, but only 8 of them appeared on the APP. So Department of Higher Education, as a responsible department, has 44 indicators out of the 50, and they only have 3 of them in their APP appearing. And we have also Science and Technology, which is responsible for 5, and all 5 indicators appear in their APP, which means they are also recorded on a quarterly basis. And we have the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services, which has 1 performance indicator. Like Nida said, they record on an annual basis, so it was not appearing also in their APP. So looking at outcome 4, the comparison indicated that the program structures allow for integration of the sub-outcomes into the APP of the contributing department, and the objective of the MTSF sub-outcomes are only indicated as priority in other departments in their APPs of higher education and training and telecommunication and postal services, but then they are not measurable because they do not appear as performance indicators. So in summary, between 16% and 62% of the MTSF performance indicators appear in the APP. So a comparison of the MTSF and the papers of the budget program show that at this stage the analysis, only a few programs need to be reviewed to ensure that integration and incorporation of the MTSF performance indicators and the remaining outcomes will be analyzed using the 2017-2018 quarterly performance reviews and APPs. Because what we find also is that in some instances, when you look at the 17-18, there's also correction that is made. So they are able to capture. So as we go along, so they capture some of the performance indicators which were not captured in the previous quarterly performance review. So the next step in the MDP analysis will focus on the challenges to achieve the impact of outcome indicators. So this is our presentation, and to say mainly because departments come to Parliament to present their APP. So this exercise needs to be done at that stage because we do impose. So during that stage where they present their APP, that's where we need to check to make sure that the performance indicators are captured there instead of because we have to shift on into the next one. Already for the next one, already APPs are presented. So if you can do it beforehand, you say, are we capturing the performance indicators of the MTSF so that we get everything right in the first place? Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Prof, would you like to comment on the remaining outcomes? Because remember, you've just given us a report on the five outcomes.
Yes. Chair, I think as my team indicates, that for the remaining outcomes, we're probably going to utilize the new information that will be coming up. Because as you've indicated, this is old information that we've been using. So the new information will use new quarterly performance and APP, I think, as well. Chair.
Okay.
So hopefully that will inform the committee chair and our committees, you know, as to proper oversight in this regard. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to a presentation by MPPO on the integration of the medium-term strategic framework into standard planning processes, and the focus has been on the first five outcomes. I will now open the floor for interrogation of the presentation. You will see, I think the interrogation will take the form of I think it's clarity seeking questions. So please, TPME, you are also, please feel free. That's why I said we must be free, we must to check on whether are we moving on the same wavelength and how are we going to correct possible solutions to this as early as now so that come next term, at least things are aligned. And actually, Prof, I remember when I was in the Department of Higher Standing Committee. It's not a Standing Committee. In the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education and Training. The DG, you know, made a statement which made me to think. He said, there is no budget for this NDP. He said, there's no budget. But I think what he did not mention is that we have been given an opportunity to use the budget that we have in the implementation of this NDP. I think he wanted to hear a message that says this is the budget for implementation of the NDP. Since this was earmarked as the first phase, in this first phase, that's where they're supposed to align their budget with the NDP goals, and the indicators. Yeah, okay. No, that's fine. Shall we then discuss?
No, just can.
Okay.
comment on just on that comment, which says that there is no budget for the NDP.
Yeah.
Isn't it the NDP is broken down into the 5-year period implementation plan?
Yeah, and it's just things, yeah.
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 And that 5-year implementation plan, its budget come in the form of the MTEF. And so you can't say there's no budget for the NDP as if there must be this big money set aside for the NDP completely dislodged from the MTSF and the medium term expenditure framework. So I don't know. Maybe we should really unpack that. My sense is that kind of statement could not be correct.
You are right, but just remember we are at the first phase, so you can get it's easy to get confused in there. But as we get along, we should then be able to, you know, simplify and advise on how they can best align. And if there are things that are left out, you then elevate and say, what about this if we are to achieve this by 2030? So this one, when are you going to implement, you know, with the limited resources that we have and with a budget principle that says you've got to do more with little. Okay. Honourable member Shopestole, who else wants to speak? Because we had up. Okay, Honourable Members Nukwanyane. So for now we have the two. Okay, Honourable Member Shopestole, you can come in.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you so much for your wisdom of bringing the department. Because this is a department that I trust a lot to be hands-on on every item of our government. So I just want to get the answer from them. I hear the professional analyst saying that yourself and your department, you know, there is something like not, you have so many indicators, but the APT shows very few. You know, I come from the ANC where we have got strategies and tactics. I just want to know whether it's the tactics of the department to make sure that we as committees are not able to measure anything, or it is just a keeping problem. I hope it is the last one. So, but I would like to be assured that you are willing to allow measurability of your performance.
Okay, Honourable Member Nukwanyane, thank you for your intervention.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thank you very much for the presentation. I also don't really have a question as such, but I wanted to make a general comment, maybe aligned to what the Honourable Governor was saying. You know, historically, public servants do have this tendency to not to really, I'm not speaking about yourself, but public, I've been one some time ago, but I know generally public servants sometimes when something new comes in, they think that now it's a new thing and it's going to disrupt their activities, it's going to cost more money, and I don't buy that. Because the NDP, yes, is here. And the issue of targets and performance indicators is not a new thing. And if it is a requirement that people should come up with performance indicators, I actually think this document for me is an eye-opener to show us how much people really do not do what they're supposed to do. Because performance indicators have been used as a kind of measure for how long, even though the word NDP was not necessarily included there. I've been asking myself the question as to what is the reason why people are doing this, because this is not something new, and I don't think we've got new people only working in the department. And I think what we just need is that people need to change their mindset, number one, and really focus, because all they need to do is to just show. Because writing priorities, like I think somebody was media or Makula said, having priorities is fine, it's very important, but those priorities, how do you prioritize them? How are you sure that you'll be able to measure that you've achieved what you wanted to achieve? So for me, that is the area where it really needs intervention. How then are we going to intervene to make sure that people really take these performance indicators seriously? And I think it helps them as well. It's not just that it's an exercise to please someone and so on, but it's something that you do in order to see that what you're doing is actually achieving the goals or objective or whatever you want to do. Thank you.
Okay. Through this presentation, observations are that there has been omission. Okay? And this involves indicators that were not included in the APPs. And now we are saying, we know that the department that is key in the in the endorsement of APPs is this one. So maybe you can also just assist us to understand on how has this one happened, and maybe there was a mandate to say focus on this and not this, but in terms of the NDP, everybody's understanding is that it has got to be implemented to the latter so that we achieve on the government's objective in 2030. So if we leave others, when are you going to catch up on those that have been left out? And indeed, it does look like what will be key is the alignment now. I'd rather do, instead of not doing anything a little bit, instead of not doing anything at all, with the little that you have. So I don't know if you are able to maybe also just to come in and share with us your understanding of this and the understanding of why some indicators were left out and not included in the APP. Please.
Chairperson, thank you very much. First, let me thank the chair and the honorable committee for inviting us to be part of the discussion today. My name is Tulani Masilela. I'm from the TPMP. Secondly, chair, I'd like to congratulate the PBO for this brilliant piece of work that they have done. We understand that it's early days. They've just done 5 outcomes, there's 9 more outcomes to be done, but I think what is imagined is very useful, because unless it's planned and captured in the APPs, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it starts with planning for the calculation resources. Chair, I'm going to give a perspective, and I'm going to try to be brief, and then my two colleagues will add Dr. Mampane and Mr. Cook. Let me first sketch the context of the MTSF, and then I'll talk about the work that the BME has done or is doing, and then I'll talk about the one indicator that the BME has omitted from its APP. Maybe I should stand there actually. But I don't want to stand there because then we sound defensive. Chaplain, we acknowledge this finding. It's true what PBO is saying. So sub-outcome 4 in outcome 4, 4x4, talks to the development and implementation of the demand-side forecasting system for skills for the economy, in particular those required for the infrastructure program. So basically, the GPME, working with other departments, made a commitment that it would work on forecasting the skills that are needed by our economy so that our institutions of higher education and training can then adjust their training programs to supply the skills that the economy requires. So, ironically, this work is happening, but it's not in the APP. We are doing this work together with Status A. So Status A has developed two instruments or two tools. One is a social accounting matrix, and the other one is a growth accounting matrix, through which we seek to address this very indicator that is put here. I think, Chair, when the MTSF was done, we had this very good and very solid intention to do what I've just described. We also realized that in the GPME there are some capacity constraints, but working with the Status A, we've begun to do this work. In fact, my colleague here, Dr. Mahuan, and eight colleagues from Status A and GPME went to the USA in August 2017. They spent a number of weeks there being equipped with the skills to do what is required here. And in fact, maybe when Dr. Mahuhane speaks, he'll also inform the committee what they found in the U.S. or what they learned in the U.S. But the aim of sending them there was to enable us to do this work that is reflected in the MTSF. But in short, we discovered that our intention was good, but the task was complex, and that those skills in government didn't exist readily. Having said that, Chair, let me then contextualize them. The MTSF has a total of 1,151 indicators, 1,151. It's got 2,093 targets, 2,093. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, go back to TPME. TPME didn't include one. This is one out of 1,151. So, out of this 1,151, we only account for one. The other 1,150 is the rest of government and the rest of department. Chair, I wish to fully agree with Honorable Kwawas. The common excuse that we've been given is that there is no money to implement the APP. And we said, what is the money for? Mm-hmm. If it's not for implementing the APP, what's the money for? We all exist today in government to implement the APP. And every 10 rand or 20 rand, I think the government budget is for the APP. So that's one. And Mr. Kruger will also speak about the work we, TPME has been doing, mandated by cabinet, which is called the mandate paper, where cabinet has then said, EPME will work with the presidency to determine the budget priorities before treasury allocates funding, so that the sentiment goes away that there's no money for it's a misnomer. But secondly, the issue that has come up, Chair, is that as we have emphasized, that PBO has done, that APPs must reflect indicators and targets that are in the MTSF, which are derived from the NDP, that is not negotiable. The issue that has been brought up, Chairperson, is the issue of progressive realization. If you take outcomes like outcome 2, the clause in the Constitution that talks about progressive realization says the state within its means shall progressively enable access
to good quality healthcare services. Now, the one issue was progressive realization, and then how fast should this progressiveness occur? But secondly, I think there's been this notion that no, but it's a 5-year plan, it's up to 2019. The other one has a horizon of up to 2030, but you are asking us to do everything in the APP, which is year one. So how do you expect us to achieve a 5-year plan in 1 year? How do you expect us to meet the 2030 target in year one? Those are the types of sentiments you will see. But we have said that. We are saying we want to see the foundation in year one of what you want to achieve in year five. Because if it's not in the foundation, even after 5 years, it won't be there. If it is not in the foundation, as people has found, then even in 2030, it won't be there. My last input, Chair, we are working with the Office of the Auditor General. We started working with the HSA last year, towards the end, and even this year, we've been working with them. The Auditor General is saying, in auditing performance information, they want to begin now to test whether APPs of departments are responsive to the MTSF, whether they are responsive to the NDP. And then again, they've also raised an important point and said the reliability of information, if it's not reliable for the APP, it's not reliable for the MTSF, because we are taking it, we are deriving it from the APP. So I think through that work, that enforcement mechanism, we want to include them in our facilitation role to ensure that these indicators find themselves into the APPs. But we bring the current, HSA brings the stick. But we are also working now on legislation for the DPMP so that the DPMP can also have sufficient teeth to enforce some of these things, but luckily AG already has the kit, and they're going to be assisting us to enforce this. On the reasons for the non-achievement of the time, now the PBO says this is only about planning, it's not about performance, yeah, just about planning. But when we talk about the issue of performance, maybe in our presentation tomorrow, we'll also highlight some of the obstacles we have identified to the delivery of the plan. Chair, I'd like to pause there, I don't know, through the chairperson's permission, if my colleagues can add.
You are allowed. Thanks. Over to you, Doctor.
Thanks. I want to start with the issue of the forecasting of skills. As Masilela has already indicated, that the skill that we are trying to build within the DPME as part of planning, but we also are working more closely with SSSA. And in that indicator, there is also higher education, and already higher education is having what they call a labor market intelligence program that they are already using for forecasting issues of skills demand and skills supply. It is not yet absolutely able to capture everything, but they have already started to start reporting which are the skills that are in scarce and which ones we have supply. And so the work is ongoing, and with the strength that is going to be developed with the status A, we want to do the whole economy rather than just focusing on just the skills part. And so the limit one is one part of a whole thing about economic modeling that we want to go into. And then I just want to also then go talk about the issues that you've raised to say, in the U.S. trip was basically trying to develop these models, because some of these models are already exist. Mm-hmm. And so what we are doing is to learn how to use them and then compare them with models that are within the country. We are going through that process of saying which are the best ones between what we find outside and what we have. And most of them are economic or econometrics kind of model. So yes, you can be able to predict and make decisions, but you also need the policy analyst to actually reinterpret what the numbers are actually telling us. So we've been trying to actually work with SSA in terms of developing this. The issue of the targets that I want to talk a little bit about more is the issue of concurrency. That expect that some of the indicators, for example, for outcome one, you find them that they are in national. For a long time, they've been just national indicators, and then we've been, the national has been reporting. But through the intervention of the AG, AG said, no, we need to ascribe. So though you have an indicator of like producing the bachelor passes, it's a national indicator. But the people who own schools are actually provinces, it's not national department. And so this has brought in a new complication where now AG is saying provinces must have those targets, not a national department should have it. And so this has been a big battle that we've been fighting, because then provinces for a long time were relaxed and knowing that national will take care of this. Now AG is looking at this to say, you need them in your APPs, and we are going to evaluate you against those APPs. So we've gone through a process now of separating to say, these are national indicators, these are provincial indicators, and these ones, where should these indicators be? So when we analyze, we always try and make the difference to say, who owns this indicator between the province and the national? I agree that the issue of local government from, for example, from basic education side, we have not dealt with it at all, even though we know that the issues of ECDs sometimes are also provided by your local government. And so it's an area that we need to move towards it. Now, this complication of AG and the department has caused lots of problems because, for example, your basic education has what they call statistical tables. And so in those statistical tables, it's usually lots of MTSF indicators. And when the AG started probing the basis of those statistical tables, then they realized they're going to be audited, and now they were saying, no, we are removing them, and it's not our responsibility. They are a provincial responsibility. And then provinces are saying, but we have a different mandate. We also have a provincial mandate that we are dealing with. So your indicators do not necessarily mean it's what we need to follow, because you can't force us as a provincial department. So we've been going through negotiations and saying what we are interested is for the country, regardless of which province you are in. We want all learners, and none of these indicators are actually going against the performance of learners. So that has been a challenge to push them. So what do we do is that we, as part of evaluating the APPs, we also indicate to national departments and provinces which ones are aligned and which ones are not aligned. So letters are written every time to explain that process. The higher education has been a bit of a challenge too, because lots of they've been raising the issue, you've been saying that the NDP does not have a budget. We've been arguing for a long time things like access, that the system has increased rapidly in terms of access, but that access was not also, we're not giving enough budget to also accommodate that kind of rapid access that we've had. We've actually have had to revise down some of the targets. For example, the target of building 12 TVET colleges, we've gone back now to saying we will build 3 colleges. But even those 3 colleges that we are building, there's a problem of operationalization, that there is no money to operationalize the college. So in a long term, it's not sustainable, because we are using skills funds to keep these colleges. So it's a problem that DHET is faced with. But having said that, there are lots of indicators within the DHET that have to deal with issues of efficiency. Has nothing to do with budgets. It's just that the department needs to be efficient. For example, the certification rate. The fact that your students take 7 years to get their certificate has nothing to do with the budget. It's just that the systems, the data systems that the your college system is having is not able to cope. So we can't go back and remove those kind of indicators. These are efficiency indicators, and we need to fight to keep them within the APP. And even though DHET might have other ideas, we are forcing them, because if the money's been given, we need to produce these things within efficiently, rather than just saying we need to change those indicators. And then the other indicators are also dependent on what the business is doing. So for example, your indicator to say experience. It's a good indicator because we want to say our lecturers need experience. We also want the students who are going through the TVET system to get experience. But the challenge is that business is the one that is welcoming those students. And so DHET has been struggling with this kind of indicator to say, we are not responsible. We can't force a company to take these students. We can't force the company to take our lecturers. And so maybe we should think of removing this target. And we've steadfastly said no, it's a target that is needed, because we also want our students, that if we want to make your TVET colleges to be attractive, it is when they provide those kinds of skills that are important and relevant to where they're going to work. So they're saying, but you are punishing us for something that we don't completely have power over it. So there is a challenge in terms of how do we deal with it. And this is also, again, not a budget issue. It's the fact that you have an economy that is shrinking, and then people are now much more circumspect in terms of allowing students to come in. So in closing, Chair, is that I think we also need to compare notes, because some of the indicators in your outcome five, we have found them, it's just that they've placed them in a different place, because they are already predicting that your AG is coming. So they are trying to put them in a place where the AG will not necessarily want to look. And so we need to talk about how do we ensure that they go back to where they will be actually monitored. There are a few that we know that they have not, they were not in the APP, and we've written to them to say we want to see them within their APP. Thanks.
Okay. You have written to them at the beginning of the financial year, am I right? But actually, you are supposed to have written to them at the beginning of the MTSF period, at the beginning. And then you say you've written to them.
Every year we do an analysis of the APP,
yeah,
and we tell them which indicators they have included in their APP that are in the MTSF and which ones they have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, even now, there's a process that is going on of saying, you've given us their preliminary APP, and we are saying to them, but we don't see these indicators. Where are they? Why they are not included in your APP? So every year we go through that exercise.
My concern with this approach is you're supposed to return it to them, and they must then, before they table it, they should have responded to your request. You can't just say you have not done this, and then, but you still allow them to go and table to the house, creating an impression that these ones are validated. They can then go ahead with the implementation. So that soft approach is not helping us. I think it's not helping us. You have to say we're not allowing you to go through until this has been corrected. Okay. Sir, do you have any other maybe addition?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for the opportunity, and thanks to the team from the Parliamentary Budget Office. They always do innovative work for us, and we're here. Sit here, you always think, well, we should have done that in the same way, and so on. But as Talbot indicated, these, you know, this kind of analysis goes on. And next time when we talk about this, we must bring up there's a special team that works with coordinating this alignment of the APPs and really looking at the standards of APPs and so on. And I think this is the first look at the analysis of the Parliamentary Budget Office, so the responses must be a bit off the top of our heads. I wasn't quite sure what to expect, whether it's going to be forward-looking or backward-looking. So we will be more prepared next time for the rest of the analysis. So really, you know, the responses, thank you very much. I think this shows us perhaps other things that we could have done, and certainly will look forward. I would just, looking at the indicators and counting indicators, what one must also realize about the NDP, but specifically of the MTSF, that there's also a hierarchy of indicators. They're not all, there are thousands of them, but they're not all at the same level. Some are high-level impact ones in education, that the pass rate will go to that. And that is something that changes in a sense over time, and you've got to do a lot of other things at different levels to get that right. And the APP is sort of a really an operational thing where you do these things at the bottom. So some of the higher level indicators might not be in the APP, and that is quite justifiable because you're dealing with the sort of, you know, you think that you must fix in the engine so that the speed of the car runs. So you might not necessarily put the speed of the car in the APP, but really, you know, that I'm going to step on the accelerator, make sure there's petrol in the tank and that kind. So I don't think we'll always expect a one-to-one correspondence between MTSF, but clearly the critical things must be there, and we must make sure that the thing is at all. But I think what we also find is that there's often quite a lot of criticism of the MTSF because there are so many indicators. And what some of us do is they say, yes, but you mustn't be blinded by all these things, the hierarchy. Some of it at the top, but if we don't have these at the bottom, we don't know how we're going to change things at the top. So, you know, I would perhaps say that you need to look in counting these indicators in the plan, but you've got to look at the hierarchy of really the strategy that's there in the plan. I think my colleagues have responded on the higher education one. I think we've also, that we can share at some stage, perhaps with the Commission, share our numbers on higher education, because really it's one of the budgets that's grown very fast. And our analysis is actually that in terms of what government spend, that the students, we have kept up. So the students have increased massively, but we have kept the spending per student really at the same per capita level. They might disagree with us, but we've got to compare numbers. So yes, you know, we need more money for TVET expansion because that is where the future lies. But government has been running very hard to keep money in that sector, and the issue is that the cost have increased very rapidly in that sector for a number of reasons. But that is perhaps a separate discussion. I just think, so this in a sense, look at what's there. I mean, what we've been working as Mr. Masilela is indicating, also mandated by Cabinet, is on looking forward, trying to align plan and budget, and that was then led to the introduction of this really planning tool, which is called the mandate paper. And the mandate paper is then really, as we see it at this stage, something that comes between the NDP and the MTSF before it goes to budget. So it's really in a specific year, in a specific context, clarifying the priorities and saying this is what we think it means for the budget. And that is an instrument that we've got to discuss with this committee more and also with our colleagues in the Parliamentary Budget Office. In 2 years that there's been work on this type of approach, so it's still a developing, and we are now working on the approach going forward, so it will be a good time to speak to the Parliamentary Budget Office. But there also is this issue of, you know, aligning, and how do we get that alignment tighter. Some people see it as a problem, and that there are problems in the budget, that the budget is not funding the right things, and there might be elements of that in certain areas. But we, as we look at it, we see it as more complex and just say we should spend more on this and less on that. It is also about how you spend and the efficiencies and so on. And so as soon as you start talking about alignment, not only what you spend where, but also about how efficiently you spend. So it gets rather more complicated than people think. So, but that is going forward. And so on the one hand, there might be changes to be made in the budget, but it's also, plans are also not as transparent as we think they are. So the NDP contains a large number of things. It's an expansive agenda. And what you try to do in the MTSF, and then indeed in the mandate paper, is make these things more concrete and specific for the period ahead. And that So it's really a prioritization process, because as somebody recently said, there are so many things in the NDP. The strongest government with unlimited resources might not be able to implement it in a year, 5 years, 10 years. It is a long-run programming of this thing. So we also think that this alignment process has a lot to do with, you know, for the immediate period ahead, interpreting the NDP. Because the NDP is not 100% worked out program to say we want to do this by this, so it requires this, so this is the money. We are refining aspects of the plan as we're going ahead, and that is part of this alignment process. So I think, you know, this is a very welcome look at how in departmental planning things are being incorporated, but we must also look going forward, how do we make sure that the essential things are included. That's more than just, I think, counting indicators. It's really all what people think they're doing, the effect it already have, is that theory of change correct, and so on, because there are many ways of doing something. So I think this is very welcome, and after we have looked at it in more detail, we can probably give more feedback, but also at some stage we must talk about, you know, the prospective alignment. You know, how do we make sure that this mandate paper going forward helps us to get that alignment? And already, of course, we've seen that mandate paper the last 2 years, while there wasn't really a paper the first year, it was a cabinet presentation this year, there was a paper. It has been coming too late, so it has to come earlier in the process so that departments can feed it into their APPs and their budget considerations. So the target for next year is April, at the end of April, the cabinet has approved and this mandate paper can be released to guide departments in doing their next year's budget and so on. So there are a lot of developments there as well that we need to talk about as we go along.
So, okay, first, I just want to check, are there follow-up questions before I hand over to Prof? To, okay, Honourable Member Gawaza, Honourable Member Shokesole, and then in your intervention, Honourable Member Manana, if you can be short and to the point.
Thank you, Chair. To the PPO, on slide 5, that last bullet, you make this very important observation that oversight is difficult, oversight over a cluster of departments that are responsible for particular outcomes is difficult. Do you have some thoughts perhaps about how else could you know, oversight be done on a cluster of role players by a set of a portfolio committees?
Okay, Honourable Member Shopet Sole.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I think I really got convinced that I was right to say that departments have got a strategy to make sure that we are not able to do efficient oversight. When DPME actually said that they are put where the AG may not look. You know, that this, to me, this is very serious. Because, you know, the government is supposed to do its work in a manner that is transparent. It's a constitutional requirement. It must be put in such a way that the AG is able to find it and assure us as a citizen that everything else is done correctly. So I want to suggest to the chair that, you know, it would be very helpful for us if most of the time we actually invite this department to sit in our meetings So this sickness has actually opened our eyes to this. And it doesn't help us to be meeting all the time when we are not going to discover the things that are hidden from the aging and from ourselves. So I'm suggesting, Chairperson, with great humility, that we take this department very seriously, like we take the treasure, so that they are frequent in our meetings.
Okay, thank you very much for your input. Next, Honorable Member Manana.
Thanks, Chairperson. Mine is just a point of clarity from the DPME with regards to the targets that were removed from other departments. You made an example of 12 TVET colleges and then you removed the targets to 3. Can I get really a clarification, because I know this pronouncement was done by the president in 2014. And those communities are waiting with eager, knowing very well that they are, these colleges are going to be built. And is there any way of going back to them and inform them with regards to this removal of the target?
Done. Who else? Okay. Okay.
Just one more, Chairperson. I don't know, perhaps this could be reflected on by the DPME itself. Some of the department APPs and indicators and in fact outcomes are implementable through specific entities. Now, what is the relationship between the two, the department and its entities which are supposed to be part of doing this? I raise this issue because it might just as well be that some reflection on legislation that governs the entities, including the state-owned enterprise, might have to be looked at, so that you strengthen the oversight of departments over these entities in order to achieve all of these things that the NDP and the NGFF direct they must be achieved. Because if the oversight relationship between the department and NDP is weak, and in fact, as is the, has been the case in some instances, where these entities are entities on their own, they run on their own, they have their budget, they have their plans, they have whatever, and they do as they have planned. It then becomes difficult to see how and what specific role they play in attaining the NDP objectives, in attaining, in carrying forward the indicators and the outcomes in the medium term strategy framework. So if we could reflect on that as well.
Just a comment from me is, I'm using the outcome number one, quality-based education, for my illustration. You see, what what is disturbing us is where the department has committed itself to quality education, and then you discover that 10 of the 40 MTSF, 40, that's too much. In this case, even if they decided to hide, where would you hide so much that in your validation process you could not pick it up and make sure that, you know, it is all the remaining 75% is included in the APP. And but also, if you say departments have, I wrote it down, put some of the indicators somewhere else, hidden them somewhere else. You see, your role in the planning, monitoring and evaluation was to pick those up and say to them, take them back. They don't belong here. We're not going to allow you to pass, or cabinet to pass your APP because of this. I don't know also, I don't know what form does it take for you to go through this work and what is it, and then and endorse. I'm trying to say your method of work. Do you sit in one say platform with all the DGs and allow them one by one to present to you in the presence of the others? For instance, you can do it in the way Nelia has put it, in a cluster form, and say you sit down with all of them, and then they present to you, and then you then, all of you sitting there, you correct each other, you know, so that all of you are aware by the time you come out of that exercise, things will be aligned. I don't know what method of work to use, but to me, I think this one would be the best, instead of you alone trying to analyze and correct and write, give them a feedback. I think this working exercise, to me, I think this one can be the best. All those, you know, belonging to one outcome, you sit with them, then you discuss. They present one by one, and then in the process, where is this supposed to be, mm-hmm. you know? And then, so that at the end, we come out with this integrated integration of the medium-term strategy framework with the standard planning processes. I don't know if I've made a proposal, a practical proposal, because I promise you, working with each and every one of them, I don't think it's going to assist you to achieve on getting the alignment and also getting all those indicators included in the APPs. So hey, it's too much. 10, it's too much. And you say of the 40 MTSF, and then there was an emphasis by Mr. Masilela saying that you're looking at progressive realization. Now, if it's progressive realization in the MTSF strategic plan, all those indicators should be, because it's progressive, if they're not going to include it in this APP of the first year of this MTSF, then same time, they should, you know, they should spread them throughout the MTSF to show the intention to implement all those indicators in the MTSF. So to say progressive, but we don't see where that is in terms of your plan, to us it's still not saying anything. It's just a word. So, yeah, all right. I don't know, maybe we should then hand over to Professor and your team.
Thank you, Chair, thank you, Honourable Members, colleagues, thank you also for your input. I thought this was very welcome. Chair, I think the point you and Honourable Guabaza made, and our colleagues as well, I think we must see the NDP as the budget, and the budget as the NDP. And of course, specifically because you're now responsible for the mandate plan as well. So, what you're going to reflect in your MTSF and your MTEF over the next few years, it's basically going to be the achievement of the NDP target. And this then has a focus on, I think, to the department, etc., etc. Now, what this also indicates, then, is that when you allocate resources, you also talk about macroeconomic policy. And I think you're going to have an impact on macroeconomic policy in this respect as well. So you can't see this as isolated, you know, from macroeconomic policy, the allocation of resources, budget, etc., etc. And we have been in the NDP phase for some time already. I think we have until 2030. So, you know, we need to start looking at these kind of processes as well, very differently, more than, I think, just looking at indicators and targets, etc., etc. Because you also now responsible for the mandate plan. And I think this is where the link will come. So, you're moving into the economic and fiscal terrain as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the next phase, I think, people are going to evaluate the NDP also going forward in this regard. I think, Chair, the point I've also made by Honourable Shawpest Victoria in responding to that is she raised a critical point about measurement. And I think we've been talking about indicators, targets, etc. And maybe at some point, and I think my colleague also said, God, we were talking about national provincial indicators. Maybe it's can we come to some point where we need to review these indicators also? You know, what is the hierarchical indicators? And I think Honorable Abaza and Mayor Manando also raised that as well, you know. So it's a time now to start looking at the review, especially with the interview process. Instead of saying, you know, we're focusing on the old approaches, etc. So there is a need, I think, at this stage to also look at the indicators, the outcome, the review of it, and also the impact. And I think Julia and Dr. Secretary indicated that that would be the next phase of the PBO's kind of reflection in this regard. Honorable Kwabaza, I think your point about cluster oversight. At this stage, I think our committees are structured to look at the part only. So we only look at the one, as you correctly mentioned, sir, KPP. But at some point, you know, like the team has indicated, that there are a few departments responsible for the NDP target. And then how do we structure ourselves, you know, around that to look at it? And I guess it's a committee issue, maybe joint committees, like you've done already, I think, you know, could be a possibility. But we need to give that some attention as well, going forward. I think the last point that I think is important, and we did mention this as well as the PBO, is that, and this is no reflection of my colleagues in DPME, but we seem to lack strategic planning guidance from DPME in government. And I think the point made by the chair is critical. You know, getting these departments together to coordinate them around the NDP, especially now that you're responsible for the budget paper as well. How do you get the EGs or departments together in one room so that you can tell them, look, you're responsible for outcome one, and these are the five departments that contribute to it, so explain to us how you're going to do it. And then coordinating that, in addition, coordinating the budget to come. So it's more than just, you know, APSS and ABP target, but also how it's linked to the budget. So I think that strategic coordination, as the chair mentioned, is something which I think is needed. Thank you, Chair. Those are our
inputs. Okay. I can see it's like a, hey, you know, we've triggered some response from you. Do you have additional responses maybe where you, or your commitment to the exercise that we've just
Yes, Chair. We also have requests we wish to make to the committee.
No problem. It's called cooperative governance. All right.
So, Chair, again, like the last time I was back, and we also had that little break. Chair, the first point we wish to make is that we agree with the chair fully about the formal loop that should be created before Parliament approves APPs of government department. Truth of the matter is that input from GPM is not taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So the first request is that our critique of the APPs also needs to be tabled when departments are tabling their APPs. So we are requesting that that formal group somehow be created. We also agree with the chair that the letters of feedback that we submit, those digital, minister to minister, might not be effective enough for two reasons. The first reason is that departments know that they can get their APP approved even if they haven't factored in what GPM has recommended. So I think that is a challenge. The second issue, Chairperson, leads to our second request. And this is about the legislation. I think our minister will come and ask for the support of the committee for the legislation that GPME will be introducing to cabinet and later to parliament. That legislation is to give GPME teeth. Because at the moment, most of these departments are functioning in terms of established legal framework, which define their role, their powers, their authority. GPME can claim some command access to the authority that the president has, since it was established by the president, and the minister is a minister in the presidency. But it is a minister who has political power in terms of being located in the ministry, but the legislation, it doesn't have a legal mandate that governs his work. And it's worked over the years, but we have realized that unless that is addressed, we're not going to be able to meet the expectations that the committee has of us, and maybe other people in the country have of us, without that legal framework. So that's our second request, that when Sitendi comes to the session, please can the committee support it, of course, amending where it needs to be amended. So we want to agree with you for the third time, when the chairperson said the alignment between the MTSF and the APP must not be done only on an annual basis, but at the first point, originally the MTSF is adopted. So we want to say that was done. The president signs performance agreements with all ministers. The president signs performance agreements with the 14 ministers who are coordinating the 14 outcomes. The MTSF is the basis of that performance agreement.
Yeah.
In fact, the performance agreement is like 5 or 6 pages long. Then it says the details is in the MTSF chapter. So at the point of origin of the MTSF, there's a contract that is entered into. And I think the first APP that is developed after the performance agreement is signed, there's like some alignment.
Mm-hmm.
But like the rest of the work we do in government sometimes, there's a waning through. The graph goes like this. Like that. Then you see alignment becoming less and less and less, and then department's own preferences coming into the APP rather than the broader national model.
Mm-hmm.
So again, our request is that agreement that is made at this point is also enforced, in that department and have to stick. When we do the annual review, we do the annual review against the original contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is true. So, Chairperson, again, I present the maybe last 2 points. The coordination of outcomes through the cluster systems. We've got implementation forums for the 14 outcomes, which are chaired by the coordinating ministers. We've got technical implementation forums, which are chaired by the DGs of the coordinating departments, and DPNE participates in all of them. At cabinet level, Honorable Members, there are 5 clusters. Cabinet and Admin, Social Protection, JCPS, ICT, and ESA. That is where the committee, the collective oversight approach is followed. But where we are still not agree with the chair is that we have used the collective approach to performance review through what we call FOSAT, the Forum of South Africa Directors General.
Mm-hmm.
At Foresight, we go there, we present performance of government against NJ 783. Each is elected for each other accountable, critique, feedback, strengthening, and so forth. But the take-home message that we're taking from here is that even the APPs need to go through that process. We've been doing it for the performance reviews that we bring to Parliament and the Cabinet. They started Foresight, they go to Cabinet, and then they come in. The planning process has been that sector departments will work with national, provincial, we will give feedback and so forth. But I think it's a loop that we are willing to go and explore as per the guidance that the chair has given. Chair, the mandate for planning and performance reviews and quarterly reviews and annual reviews in terms of current legislation, the PFM is see to it, national treasure. 2 years ago, Treasury transferred the function to DPME. But all we have is a letter from Treasury that transferred the function to us. The legislative mandate still rests with Treasury. Last point, I think Honorable Thomas around the SOE is absolutely important. We have been monitoring what we call the shareholder departments or the mother departments of SOE. But we've been directed by our minister to start monitoring the SOEs themselves. Now, we have 200 SOEs and SOCs and public entities. But we have come up with a short list. At the moment, there's 7 on the short list, which is the most problematic, which we are going to start with. But we've also developed a system which will enable us to monitor not only the mother departments but also the entities themselves. Chair, Honorable Tawaza is correct. If you take Transnet, for instance, the policy department is the Department of Transport in terms of the Ports Act. But the shoulder department is DPE, it's the Department of Public Enterprises. So if you were to visit DPN, if you were to visit Transnet tomorrow, you need to speak to Transnet, to DOT, to DPE. And I haven't mentioned DTI yet. Yeah. So, Honorable Tawada, your observation is spot on. And achieving coherence in our legislation will not be an overnight process. But when we pick these things up, we reflect them, and maybe I should agree with the chair, and we have tabled the requests that we have made, and we've taken away the proposals that the chair and the committee have made. If you think through for such, we must then begin to address. Maybe if this department could be given teeth, like it has started to give itself teeth, if that process could be supported, I think we would see a different type of performance assessment, performance measurement, performance monitoring, performance evaluation, and even the reporting. So it's like a gentle people's agreement or approach. Mm-hmm. You feedback. If you like it, you take it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you for your...
Can I
you want to add.
Yeah.
Please do.
When we say departments are hiding things from AG, it's not like they're under the table. So what has been happening is that there were a section within the ATT that was allowing for what we call statistical tables. And for a long time, for example, in basic education, they were not audited. It's now that they are becoming now audited. What we've agreed is that the system has matured enough for us now to start auditing them. Now departments, that's where now we start having the fight now between provinces and National Department of Education, where provinces are saying, we are still feeling we are not ready. Why is DBE agreeing that these indicators now need to be audited? And so for a long time, everything could be put in the statistical table and it didn't have to worry. Now suddenly, it's not sudden, AG has been indicating that the system is maturing, get your systems ready. Now we believe that the system should be already be mature to be able to audit it. And people are only focusing on getting clean audits. Whether we have an impact or whatever, that's not the major drive for them. Let's protect the clean audit. So I don't want people to say they were hiding, just that they were putting them in a way where they knew they could not be audited. But now Auditor General is coming into that area. The issue of the 12 colleges, where when we say we've revised, we said for the remainder of up to 2019, we are going to be focusing on these three to make them sustainable, because currently they're not going to be sustainable. Does not mean that the nine are not going to be done. What DHET is doing now is developing plans on how do we how are we going to still build them, but they will not be done within 2019. It will take a longer time in terms of things. But I think DHET should answer this question on how are they going to realize this pronouncement that was made. The reason why we are focusing on these three is that these three are in danger of being built and then not being sustainable. They become elephants, white elephants, and that's what we are focusing to make sure that the head actually focuses on this. That is why we have focused on these three, to say, can they be sustainable? Then the last one is, I would also request that the issue of concurrency, we need to deal with it. How do we deal with a sector like basic education that is dealing with provinces that do not necessarily feel that they have to follow what the national DBE is doing? And so they, DBE is sitting with a challenge of saying, how do we force these targets to be on provincial APPs when provinces also know that they have a right, they are an equal sphere. They have a right to say that they have other mandates. Yes. So we need help on saying how do we support DHET in its oversight role of ensuring that the provinces actually are much more aligned. Because with the, as Mr. Matiela has indicated, when we, the performance agreement is signed, it is between the national minister and the president. The department, the MECs sign with the minister, but they are not necessarily obligated to follow what they have signed with. They have not signed with the president. So we need a different mechanism of forcing what is happening, especially since in basic education, all the schools are owned by provinces, not the national department.
Okay, no, thank you so much. I think you will agree with me that it was necessary that we convert here and talk about this as early as now. I'm sure this has also been an eye-opener to yourself. Just like it was an eye-opener to us, and we said, hey, this thing does not belong here. Let's take it to where it belongs. Can you share information? That's why we then called you. Sorry for not clearly explaining what this meeting was all about. We actually wanted you to come and also share this information. We wanted to share this information with you so that you can, if we are wrong, you can correct us. And if we find that you have been doing your things differently, you go back and correct, you know, so that we can implement the NDP goals as expected. Well, in closing then, in our, I don't know whether, fine, okay. Having exhausted the discussion,
may I ask for your interview? Just one.
Okay. All right.
So this issue of intercontinental relations, perhaps it needs to be unpacked. clear.
Sure.
Because this starts with political inter, let me put it this way, interpolitical relations. If there is anything quite like that, it starts with the inter-executive relation. And then it must flow into the departmental, intergovernmental relation. So long as we locate it's a problem of the department, national department and provincial department, and then the individual minister with no inter-ministerial relations down there, using perhaps what is this thing called, the meeting of the ministers,
MINMET.
Yeah. If it won't work, if departments are going to easily say, the provincial departments are going to say, no, we see your indicators and blah, 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 and so on and so on. Give us the money, but we don't account to you how we use this money. So we've got to look at it from a different
All right. No, thank you so much. I think your comment also is to the point. So we have now exhausted the engagement on the PBO's presentation. I would like to thank all of you. Firstly, thank the PBO for working on this document. You can imagine. I don't think it has been an easy task, but we have it. So thanks for your hard work, and thanks for coming to present this to us, so that we are at the same wavelength, and also with DPME, we are at the same wavelength in terms of where are we and how are we planning to get to 2030 and identifying those omissions and those gaps. But thank you so much. It has really been an eye-opening document and thought-provoking. Yes. Doctor, I saw you. You know, you were shocked and you could not believe. And I said, yes. We were also shocked. So come, welcome to the party. As long as we will go back and correct. All right? Well, in the engagement, there are a few highlights that we have picked up, flowing from the presentation and the engagement itself. These are that members are seriously concerned with ensuring accelerated progress on the MTSF and the MDP. The non-alignment of APP indicators and MTSF indicators is a serious concern, and we are saying that it is important that even in our planning, we plan in a progressive manner for the MTSF, because every year when you review, it will give you an opportunity to check on how you are doing and how on those that you have left behind, how are you going to take them with into the next financial year. Because what's important is that all the indicators are supposed to be implemented in the MTSF period, all of them, with no exception. And if we don't do that, it means that we ourselves who have come up with this blueprint, the MDP as our blueprint, we ourselves are now undermining our own MDP's developmental and transformation objectives. So we can't do that. And to be honest, the center must hold. When yeah, you're right, maybe you need legislation to give you tips. But when you make certain recommendations, those recommendations should be binding. And you should be able to apply punitive measures for those who refuse to cooperate. I'm saying punitive, maybe I should use the softer one, corrective measures. Those who don't want to cooperate. Members also feel strongly that there should be a mindset change. And civil servants must really do what they are supposed to do. What I know with change is that people always resist change. But we should be consistent in terms of what is expected, and if that is not met, then you're not going to allow, you know, maybe the budget to be passed, something like that. Okay. And for instance, where you have identified and maybe you have written to the in the previous meeting, we agreed that maybe we should enter into a work relationship between ourselves, so that you even share with us your quarterly reports, so that you can use those as the instrument to measure the performance by the department. The committee is also happy that there is alignment of thinking between DPME and PBO, and we really wish to see this strengthened, and please, you've got to be try and be present in our committee meetings. You don't have all of you, just one person who will be able, just like in the National Treasurer, one person will be able to respond to some of the issues that maybe the department might want to defend themselves.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And then you should be able to be open and say, no, but here we have advice.
Yes.
But our advice was not taken.
Yes.
Just
yes.
That, and then we then carry on with our effective and efficient oversight over the department. Because for as long as we don't have information, we'll keep on believing that we are effective, only to discover late that no, we didn't do our work as expected. So we will appreciate your written input as often as possible. We have consistently raised in our own reports that planning is a major challenge. So we've seen that. We then requested for this report that we are getting today to say, indeed, this one is actually confirming our hypothesis. So this one is confirming. We also welcome DPME's partnership with AXA, and we will be watching this very closely. In future, we wish for DPME to be part of our quarterly engagements with National Treasury, and for all of us to be hands-on in ensuring we attain MTSF targets and unlock any perceived bottlenecks. Thank you once more, PBO and DPME, for all your input, and I would like to thank the honorable members for also their input, and these inputs will assist us as we head into the MTBPS. Thank you very much. So the meetings between ourselves, PBO and DPME is over. But also, honorable members, if I look, we don't form a quorum, meaning that we cannot proceed with the passing of the minutes until such time that we form a quorum. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Huh?
We're supposed to be 6.
Yeah?
Yes, we don't. So you see how important that each and every member attends so that we can make progress in our way. Very important. Okay, no, but thank you very much. We don't have the only announcement that I got through Estelle is that, thank you very much, thanks for coming and thanks for your work, is that Honorable Member Tangwini lost her mother maybe as this committee we should then say, how do we support her? Because you must remember, in terms of our register, she's still part of us. How have you handled this in the past? Where a member lives, because mother is very close, husband close. I think we should find a way of supporting them.
Except for the member that we lost, we haven't had relatives.
Okay. Okay.
If they were, they may not have come to the attention.
Yeah. Can we have one meeting, please? Because we also want your advice. Right? We lost, honourable member Damini lost her mother. Okay. When I lost a brother, this committee sent me a bouquet of flowers. Even if they came after the funeral. I was here when they went home. That was an electricity problem. I was back from the funeral when I went. So, for as long as we started, we must then, means we had started, precedence, we must then proceed. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shall we then, okay, I'll ask my office to arrange that we get a bouquet of flowers, and then we send the card. And for those who will be able to attend, who can attend on behalf of the committee, is there anyone who will be available to attend? Yeah, I have a distant relative who passed on in Mpumalanga, so I have to attend. Not close, so I'm trying to say we can't accommodate within this. Yeah? Yeah, the closer, mother, father, wife, husband, I think they, let's confine it within that. Ne?
When is the funeral?
No, we don't have the details. Yeah. I think as soon as we have the details, we circulate the information to members. And then if we can know who, if there's anyone who will be, you know, because that one, maybe we should go with the flowers and the card, you know, on our behalf.
Maybe to take the card and make your contribution.
I don't know, will it not go with the flowers? Okay.
Right.
A card?
No, 100 rand per person.
To put in the card?
The card is buy by government budget. What?
I don't know, I want to find out from Pinky how they bought the flowers. I thought you knew, that's why I'm asking you. Ne? So let's find out from Binky, or you can find out from us, how do we get the flowers, but we must send the flowers and the card.
No, I don't know, it's a committee budget.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, if we have to collect, I heard you saying that this thing must be confined to father, mother,
husband, wife.
So if you don't have any of those, you should not participate even in the contribution.
No, let's be positive.
No.
May I ask you to make a proposal?
No.
Because we're not conclusive and we're still discussing. We have not concluded. So if you can make a proposal, because for instance, we don't know each and everyone's situation here. Right? And, because even myself, I propose. So you can then say, no, let's include brothers because they're close to us. Or sisters, because they're close to us. Remember, we are one team, so we have to support one another. Mm. And that also builds unity and it builds a strong team. There's a word I'm looking for. Okay, it will come. But a very strong team, because we need that. We need to work as a team, we need to be united. So that we can make an impact in our work. Okay, any other input?
No, the Pabaza was saying in your incident, it was a community project when I asked.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at that. committee budget, but the flowers, you know what, they are more meaningful if they go there before.
Mm.
When they come
yes.
after, you don't even see the flower. You find that they delivered at home, you didn't even see the flowers, you know, and the message, you know, and all those things. So, okay, so who will work on that one? Should we give it to the secretariat or to the secretariat? It's better to give it to the secretariat. Yeah, to coordinate, right? And then secretariat will get information and circulate to members. But anyone who will be going there, can that person indicate so that we can know that indeed we are going to be represented by so and so? If people are available.
Chair, I just want to check. Are we talking here flowers as in bouquet, or are we talking flowers as in a wreath?
In what, ma'am?
A wreath, or just for hair, a bouquet for hair.
To me, the flowers can work for both. Even a basket of flowers.
I'm saying that's just in the event, like you were saying, it's better they go before. In the event that no one goes and you are unable to do, then it should still be fine to keep a bouquet afterwards. I agree with you that it would be good to get them as soon as possible,
mm-hmm.
but just in case.
You must remember, it's also about the family knowing that we have been supportive to their family members.
That's what I'm saying, if no one can
yeah.
do it.
You know, if there's no one, you know what can happen? Maybe you can look at the place and then we ask a florist shop there to deliver.
No, then
it's another way. Yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. So, I still want us to conclude on the 100 rand. What do you say this 100 rand for, Honorable Member Manana?
I was saying...
For the flowers.
For the flowers and the
card. Okay.
I was not aware that
there was such an arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go back to that arrangement. But then if you have problems, please indicate as soon as possible so that we can find an alternative way of dealing with this man. Okay. Thank you. That's the announcement I have. Any other announcement? None. Any correspondence? You don't have, no? All right. Honourable members, let me thank you for coming. And also, I would want to emphasize the importance of us attending so that this has now become a habit of us not adopting our minutes first round on the first round of those minutes. Have you seen? We adopt minutes in a, what's the best way? You find that we adopt a set of minutes, you know, on the day when we happen to form the quorum. It's not supposed to be like that. We are expected to act in a manner that is responsible, that will make our work to flow, and then flow nicely, and then we don't have outstanding matters. But thank you very much indeed for all your efforts to make this committee to work. The meeting stands adjourned.